was written by other people, typically white men, who were literate and in positions of power. Fortunately, Ona Judge Staines left the world just a bit of her voice, and hopefully, time will reveal new information about this incredible woman. Although she remained in hiding for more than half a century, I don't believe that she ever wanted to be forgotten. Foreword. Spring rain drenched the streets of Philadelphia in 1796. Weather in the city of brotherly love was often fickle this time of year, vacillating between extreme cold and oppressive heat. But rain was almost always appreciated in the nation's capital. It erased the putrid smells of rotting food, animal waste, and filth that permeated the cobblestone streets of the new nation. It reminded Philadelphians that the long and punishing winter was behind them. It cleansed the streets and souls of Philadelphia, ushering in optimism, hope, and a feeling of rebirth. In the midst of the promises of spring, Ona Judge, a young black slave woman, received devastating news. She was to leave Philadelphia, a city that had become her home. Judge was to travel back to her birthplace of Virginia and prepare to be bequeathed to her owner's granddaughter. Judge had watched 6 spring seasons come and go in Philadelphia. Each spring, she watched the rain fall on a city that was slowly cleansing itself of the stain of slavery. She watched a burgeoning free black population grow such that, by the end of the century, it would count nearly 6,000 people. Although a slave, Judge lived among free people, watching black entrepreneurs sell, along with other provisions, their fruits, oysters, and pepper pot soup in the streets. On Sunday mornings, she witnessed the newly erected Bethel Church welcome its small but growing black membership. And what she didn't witness firsthand, she would have heard about. Stories about organizations such as the Philadelphia Abolition Society, who helped enslaved men and women find or protect their freedom, and beyond. Philadelphia represented the epicenter of emancipation, allowing black men and women the opportunity to sample a few of the benefits that accompanied a free status. As a slave in Philadelphia, Ona Judge was actually in the minority. In 1796, fewer than 100 slaves lived within the city limits. Not only did her status as an enslaved person separate her from the majority of free black Philadelphians, but she was further distinguished by the family she served. Judge was owned by the first president of the United States and his wife, George and Martha Washington. Judge's sojourn from Mount Vernon in rural Virginia to the north began in 1789 when she accompanied the presidential family to New York, the site of the nation's first capital. In November of 1790, the capital moved to Philadelphia, where Judge encountered a new world, one in which, on occasion, she strolled through the streets, visited the market, and attended the theater without her owners. The rigid laws of Southern slaveholding were difficult to integrate into a free Philadelphia, and when told she'd be given away to the famously mercurial granddaughter of the First Lady, she made a very dangerous and bold decision. She would run away from her owners. On Saturday, May 21st, 1796, at the age of 22, Ona Judge slipped out of the president's mansion in Philadelphia, never to return. Very few 18th-century slaves have shared their stories about the institution and experience of slavery. The violence required to feed the system of human bondage often made enslaved men and women want to forget their pasts, not recollect them. For fugitives like Ona Judge, secrecy was a necessity. Enslaved men and women on the run often kept their pasts hidden, even from the people they loved the most, their spouses and children. Sometimes, the nightmare of human bondage, the murder, rape, dismemberment, and constant degradation was simply too terrible to speak of. But it was the threat of capture and re-enslavement that kept closed the mouths of those who managed to beat the odds